Welcome back to the second hour of 2 Hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. For those of you just tuning in for the first time on this second hour, this is a continuation of a two-hour special with cantor Naftali Herstick of Yerushalayim. I had the pleasure of meeting Naftali in Yerushalayim a few weeks ago and did this interview. And for those of you who missed the first hour, you can go to the archive and catch the entire program. So let's get on with some of his outstanding chazanis. And this was recorded, I believe, at a live Slichas Davening a few years back. This is Shomer Yisrael, cantor Naftali Herstick. Well, that was the Shomer Yisrael. The falsetto, of course, was Naftali Herstik. Let's hear Yigdal from an earlier album of Naftali's, Yigdal.
Yigdal Elokim Echai V'yishtabach Nimetzav Eileith El Metziyoto Echad Ben
Naftali Herstik with Yigdal. Let's hear V'hoyor B'acharis Hayomim. Father and son, Naftali and Netanel. Let's get back to the interview that started in the first hour, and hope you're enjoying the colorful life, very interesting story of how Naftali got into Chazanis. Let's continue.
So how long were you at the Bilu?
I was at High Long. That was only for Rosh Hashanah Kippur.
Okay.
Only Rosh Hashanah Kippur. That was not a year. A yearly job they didn't have.
Oh, okay.
The children davened of the choir. Those who were not bar mitzvah yet were davening Kabbalah Shabbos. From Bochum, somebody who was bar mitzvah already was davening.
Okay.
And that's how davening was shared out. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people came to that. Right. And you know what? Sobol is a product of that. Malovani is a product of that. Sure. Oh. Menashe Levran, the conductor, really? He was for me the role model. But he's about a year and a half older than me. When I saw him conducting, when I was about 13, I told my dad, I can do that too. He said, come on. And when I was 14 and a half, I did it. Yes. I was watching him first a lot.
Right. So after the Bilu experience, when was your next was the next step?
The next step, obviously, I was in yeshiva, I was in the army, but I was the next step. My father comes home, meets me. I come home from yeshiva. I remember it was yeshiva from the army. It was just from the yeshiva. It was immediately after the Six-Day War, about a month after the Six-Day War. He says, "Look in Akko." Mm-hmm. North of Haifa, almost by Naharia, there is the most beautiful synagogue in Israel now. They just finished it, and they are looking for a chazan. And they asked me for you to go there for a probe. I said, Abba, I'm not going to a probe. I'm ready to go to a probe in Tel Aviv. I'm not going to go to a probe in Akko. He said, look. He said, you know what? You tell them that if there is a bar mitzvah and he wants to pay for it, I'll come and daven Shabbos. Because I thought, what's Akko? Come on, I thought. At the same time, there was a new big shul in Tel Aviv, the Smatz shul that was opened that year. They wanted me there too. So I told them. I davened in Akko.
Yes.
Love from the first sight.
Really?
First of all, 1,100 seats. Full.
Really?
The shul is full. They love chazanes. They love davening. The Gaboim understand it. My father, the one who became my father-in-law afterwards, Shlomo Klein, Reb Shlomo Knapp, was the president and the builder of the shul. He was the deputy mayor and the head of the municipal religious committee. And he was the whole. And he was a fantastic Baal Tefila.
Really?
Fantastic. Anyway, I went there. I realized it's a very warm community. So I told them, I'm going to, like in Bilo, I'm going to call the shots. I'll try. I told them, hey, I've got office in Tel Aviv, but I like you very much. I like the shul, I like the place. What I want is so and so much. I want you to pay for a choir, for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and for Yom Tovim, that I'll train, but you'll pay for.
Were you 22, 23 at the time?
No, I wasn't. I was just 20.
You're just 20. Uh-huh.
Just 20.
Uh-huh.
Just 20.
Uh-huh.
And you know how much I asked? I think that it was higher than the salary of the prime minister at the time in Israel. The president of the shul, my father-in-law to be, says no. Why no? Don't you love? I love him. He's a wonderful chazan. But for three reasons I don't want him. He's too good, too expensive, and I wouldn't allow somebody, he's Hungarian, you know, somebody who's not married to Dav Mosofim here. So they said, well, what do you want of him? He's just 20. What do you want? I went over to the Rav. The Rav was Yid with a Shtreimel.
Really?
Yeah. With Weisse Socken. He was before that, he was the Rav of Kiryat Sanz. Before the Rebbe came, he was his.
Really?
So I went over to him. And as it happens, Shabbos afternoon, I went to the Rav and we spoke about and I told him about the very nice Dvar Torah, and we spoke and spoke and spoke. So they came to the Rav with him, together with Shlomo Klein. And he says, so he says, look, he's a good chazan. Let us establish something. I mean, such a big shul, we want to establish something. He's too good. For a few years, Matob Manoe. It's too expensive. Listen, you know how to do these things. Part of the salary, the municipality will pay, and part of the salary. Anyway, but he says, but how can we allow a bocher to dav musafim? So he says, must a fail meidlech in Akko? Are there not enough girls in Akko? He says, he's a nice boy. He's a Yirei Shamayim. He's a Talmud Chochem. What do you want? Wait, he'll get married. This Yomim Noroim will still be. We'll get married.
By the way, we were in Akko last week at the Arab side, and yeah. I was so disgusted with Akko, but then they said, but that's only 20-25%. The rest they were.
No, but did you go into underground?
Well, we went into the prison.
Oh, that's beautiful. No, the prison in the Ulamot Abirim, those beautiful Roman halls down there.
We were not sightseeing. No, we weren't sightseeing. But we went to the Tunisian shul or a shul, Yemenite shul.
The Tunisian, very beautiful.
Tunisian, yes, shul. With all the mosaics.
Yeah, beautiful.
But I'm glad to hear it because you just changed.
There is a great synagogue by the beach in the new city.
Uh-huh.
A big shul.
Right.
Until the great synagogue here in Jerusalem was built, yes. That was the nicest shul in Israel.
Really?
Big, big shul.
Okay, so now you're there. You met your wife.
I met my wife who didn't like me. Because she thought that I was a show-off. And I thought that she was a snotty nose because her father is such a big macher. And we hated each other's sight, but we had to meet because, you know, socially there was there's a kiddush after the davening.
Sure.
And I came up sometimes to her father to, you know, to he to, for another signature for the check.
Sure.
Anyway, soft.
So then you were kosher.
You know, somehow the magnet turned around.
Yes. As we say, it was beshert.
Yeah, it was beshert. Otherwise, I mean, how would I?
Okay. You know? So how long were you in Akko?
3 years.
And then what?
3 years, and I loved the place, and the place loved me. And I'll tell you something. I remember a lot of people used to ask me in Tel Aviv, why did you go to such a place when they offered you smuts? We know that smuts wanted you. I said, I want to tell you something. Here in Tel Aviv, there are sharks.
Sharks.
Sharks. If I made a little mistake somewhere, but because I'm Naftali Hirsch, they will just immediately, I said, do you think I didn't hear somebody said it in Slichas, I said something. Well, what he didn't know, that this is something that Ravish showed me, that was written by his predecessor in Riga. But that guy, he doesn't know something.
Everybody's
a Mevin. In Akko, they are real Mevinim, but if you make a mistake, they do it nicely. They tell it to you nicely, with love. And it was so true. And I remember once, you know, you daven almost every Shabbos and so on to the same people. So you ran out of material, and I started to give my own pieces. So one Shabbos, I said, Friday night, a Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. It was on the spot. You know, it was good, but parts of it were not great, probably. Mm-hmm. And one of the elders, a nice Sheiner Yid, came over to me, and he says, so he puts his arms over my shoulder, and he says, Reb Naftule, siz efsher chal geven an iser noiled iber de Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. You know, on Shabbat, you know, there's a law that something that was born on Shabbat, you can't use it on Shabbat. For instance, an egg, Beitzah Shenol Lo Biyontov, an egg that was laid on Shabbos. There's a whole Gemara about, you know. So he said, was there efsher an issur nol? If it was forbidden because it was noiled today, that piece.
It was born on
Shabbos, you know. So he gave me a jib, but right. It was in such a nice and sweet and loving way, and I learned so much there. I learned so much, and I really became my own. I used to compose my own stuff, write things for the choir. Always, it was not as clever and complicated as today, but it was nice and kosher. And the choir was very good, a lot of children. I used to have 40 children in the choir, and a couple of locals, and the rest I used to import from Tel Aviv.
Just to digress for a second, when you said you wrote, it occurred to me that a lot of the young guys today do not know music. They don't even read music.
I know.
But we'll talk about that.
I know. Listen, some of the great Chazonim of Amalek time, some of them also didn't read.
So after Akko, then what?
While I was in Akko, I had always a Shabbos free. One Shabbos free. I had davened only three. Uh-huh. And I became very popular. I was doing Shabbos all over the country. I became very popular. And anyway, one day, Chazan in the great synagogue on the Carmel in Haifa, his name was Lippe Lajos. I don't know whether you've got his recording.
I have one.
Lippe Lajos. The recording is, he was almost 70 then, but his chazanes, for instance, his Loi Omos, there is such subtleties in his chazanes. He was very special. Mm-hmm. And he died suddenly. He had a heart attack. He was the chazan there. And he loved me very much. He wanted to give me all his music. We had a concert together, Pesach. Mm-hmm. And he died a few days after Shvishel Pesach. Anyway, they called me. Many Chazanim applied for the job. I davened Shabbos Mevorchin Sivan. And on Shavuos I was already the Chazan there. And I was there for 2 years.
You moved to Haifa?
We moved to Haifa. We had already two children.
Really?
Actually, the second one, Hanale, was born just on that Shabbat when I davened. The problem.
This is 65?
60, no, this is already 70. 69.
69, okay.
End of, that was mid-69. 69, no. 67, 8, 9. Yes. Yes. I was not in Ganzen 3 years in Akko.
Right.
Not all of the 3 years. And I became the Chazan there, and my daughter was born on that Shabbat as well. In the hospital, she registered, as it happened, in the hospital not far from the shul. So. Anyway, so then there in Haifa I was for 2 years.
Yes.
And people used to come, tourists and this and that and the other. I had many offers from all over the world. What happened was, in Haifa as well, I had a very high salary. Very, very, very high. But what happened was, we had to live in that area, which was the most expensive area, the center of the Mount Carmel.
Yes, it was called the section.
Ahuza.
Okay.
We had Merkaza Carmel, Ahuza, very, very expensive area. So we bought a flat based on what I was earning, taking mortgages, but there was a law that was limiting the mortgage. They could take only so 3%, 4%, 5% by law. And while I was already buying, I put the down payment. We worked out how much mortgage we can take, and everything was fine. We could still live comfortably. At the time, I was studying at the university as well, mm-hmm. and sitting in the koilel for a few hours a day as well. So I was not earning anything else but in the shul. This is Wednesday or Tuesday, we signed the contract. I gave the down payment. On Friday afternoon, Sapir, who was the finance minister, came with a new
law
which annulled this law. And now what you paid for the mortgage?
Down payment, yeah.
No, not for the. What you paid for the mortgage was free, whatever the market was. So instead of paying, let's say, 40-50% of what I was earning monthly as a mortgage, and could live nicely from the rest, I suddenly had to pay 85%.
Wow.
And we were really tight, really tight. My wife didn't want me to stop to go to university, so I started. I took a course in insurance. I was selling insurance. No, it was not oyoyo.
Okay.
It was, but somehow, the money was not enough.
Okay.
Everybody was wondering. You earning? I was earning double of what Binyamin Unger was earning in the Great Synagogue in Tel Aviv. So and then came offers from South Africa, Mexico, Canada, Gordon. And then came an offer from London. It didn't come as an offer, as it happens. They used to have a big central service for Yom HaAtzmaut. They had David Kosevitsky, they had, I don't know whom they had before him, they had Binyamin Unger, and then they turned to the young Schneck, me. I was 24 years old. They want me as, you know, for the Gasthausen, for the big central service. And that was the letter I got from the head of the Zionist organization and the Mizrahi. You know, Reuven Turner? He was. Then he writes at the end, he said, as it happens in the shul where we are going to hold the service, they are looking for a chazan. Would you be interested? Would you put your name up? So I knew that England was not paying that much. I wrote back about the job in a very... sort of, by the way, I said, and what you wrote about the job, when I'm there, we'll check it out, see what. The following week, the president of the shul calls me in Haifa. He's already in Haifa. He wants to meet me. Boom. I said, I can't. I'm in Miluim. I'm reserving the army. I'm going tomorrow morning early. For how long are you going? I said, as it happens, it's a short one. 4 days. Okay, in 4 days I'm going to be in Tel Aviv. Can you meet me in the Great Synagogue in Tel Aviv? I want you. Why in the Great Synagogue in Tel Aviv? I said, because listen, after all, we are a big shul. I want to know whether his voice is big enough. Whether it would. So I had the. He listened to me. Or, you know, said, would you say Kedusha? He says, okay. He said, when can you come to us? This was end of December. I said, I'm going to come for your mitzvah. No. So in 2 weeks' time, I was in London, davening there. The Yeshikoyach nearly raised the roof at the end of the davening. Baruch Hashem. And that, you know, I liked it very much, again, more than all the other places that I mentioned, though they were officially paying less. less than what Canada offered me, surely what at the time South Africa offered me, and what Mexico offered me. But the Gabay, who was a real opera buff, and his and Chazones, his idol was Mordechai Hirschman. And he understood. He was a maven. He understood Chazones. You couldn't bluff him. And he said, in one of our meetings, he said, look, I've got an extra for you.
An apartment?
No. I've got an extra for you. What is, because I didn't say a figure. Said, how much, what do you want? I said, as much as you think I'm worth.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And I knew already that what they wanted is somebody who is sociable, somebody who would work with the youth, and so on and so forth. It's a communal job as well, not only the Chazones and Shams. There was a big choir, a good choir. Jack Rosenberg was the choir master. He used to be the choir master of Fischl Rosenberg. And, he grew up with Yankel Goldstein. His father was the choir master by Yankel Goldstein. So they had a lot of extras, and you know, I love that the way the service in London went with so much grandeur. I really felt like
with a choir,
in a holy place. You know, a quiet, everybody sits and people dressed up properly. You know, it was something else, and I liked it very much. The culture, I loved the culture there, and on top of it comes the Gabay, one of our many conversations, he tried to break me down. He says, I've got an extra for you. What is it? Look, I'll get you into the Royal College of Music.
The Royal College of Music. Uh-huh.
Which, you know, okay. That and Juilliard.
Oh, okay.
So I said, listen, why don't we visit there? I immediately challenged him. He took me there. And I was very, 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 very much impressed. And that already, he was clever, he was shrewd. He felt that he got the weak point. And then we made a deal. I was, they couldn't pay officially more than this. Okay, how about the house? So we made a deal. He said, look, I trust you for the first 5 years, and you trust me for the next 5 years. And in 10 years, the house is mine.
So you stayed there 7, though.
I stayed 7. So
okay. So after that, after England.
After England, the year before in England, obviously, the children started to be bigger. We decided we are coming back to Eretz Israel. The parents are getting older. We want the children to know them, to let them have naches from our children. We had already at the time 4. 2 that were born here and 2 that were born there. It was the 2 older girls that you don't know, Kiki and Hannah, and then Shraga, okay. And Edith. And the Tanel was born just before we left.
He was the baby.
He was born just before we left.
He was the youngest.
Yeah. And Elka and myself, we decided, what will I do in Israel? I can't be a chazan. In 1977, I don't know whether you remember, I was offered Bethel when Moshe Stern was leaving. I davened there, and I got the contract.
Really?
And I didn't want to come.
No, I did not know that.
Sure, and then they took the real... Ben Zion and me, and Ben Zion's voice was not big enough at the time for the show. And they took me, and I didn't want to come. A, they wanted a 10-year contract, and we want to come back already. I offered them 3 years. I said no. Uh-huh. We must have a 10-year contract, number one. Number two, I felt that the shul was not what it was and it was going to go down.
Yeah. Sadly, it's sad.
For me, it was a dream of childhood to be a chazan of Moshe Kusevitzky student, and I was there. Right. And Moshe Stern, I heard him a few times there. He was the one who brought me because he broke his contract. He had another year to his contract. His contract was till 1978. But he had the offer from Brazil, which he didn't want. I'll bring you Herschtig from London.
Okay.
So it was, as I done, and I went back. I didn't want to. Okay. But then we decided that I've got to do something because in Israel there'll be no job for me. And I went into the diamond business. and I did very, very, very well. Very well. But since I was earning so well in the shul, I put all what I earned in the diamonds back in the business. And when I came here, I didn't come here to be a chazan at all.
Really?
Not at all. I thought to do what Moshe Stern did, and I had offers from various places. Uh-huh. You know, Yom Emnoroim and so on. My late father, kept on telling me, chazan on a nomad is nishkim chazan. Chazan without an amud is not a chazan. I said, Abba, how can you say that he is Moshe Stern? He says, he is 12 years older than you. He's been davening for more years than you at the amud. You can't. I was 30, almost 31 when we came here. We came here, punk, then was the big, 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 big depression in the diamond business. And I had no panas, suddenly with five little children.
Five.
Netanel was born by then already. Dr. Yaffe, who was at the time building the Grey Synagogue, and he heard that I was here. He kept on phoning every day, three times a day. He traced me wherever I went. I'm not exaggerating. Every day. And then, at the end, I came, I davened the Shabbos. I said, okay, I'm ready to take the job on one condition. On three conditions. Three. A, he says, Leon, you will be the chazan of a synagogue when it's going to be finished. I said, I listened to that. I said, okay, now on three conditions. One, I want the contract for the Great Synagogue now, signed. I'm not going to be the chazan here in Hechal Shlomo and work and build it up and then you'll take somebody else, maybe. I said, no. Number one. Number two, I want Eli Yaffe to be the choir master. Because at the time, and he wanted, but he didn't want, he had big dreams, he was going to be the conductor of the Berlin Philharmonica. And I told his father, listen, do your son a favor. It's a long shot to get anywhere in the profession that he took on. Let him get his name through being the conductor in the Great Synagogue. He'll get his job afterwards.
Right.
I was so right. Saved his life. And the third condition was that I should be involved in the decor and acoustics of the Great Synagogue. Hmm. Which I was.
And you were there for
30 years.
30 years.
And he was there for 30 years. Well, as you could tell, we had a lot of fun with that interview. And there's a whole discussion that we'll get to some other time about TAKI, Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute. And I'm thinking of perhaps putting together a program of graduates of TAKI. And we'll see about that. It will be very, very exciting, very interesting. Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed the insights to a lot of went on in the world of Cantor Naftali Herstik. And let's hear with the Jerusalem Choir. Actually, by the way, all the choir selections were with the Jerusalem Synagogue Choir. This is Lechu Naranino. Listening to Father and Son. We'll close this two-hour special of Naftali Herzlich together with his son, Netanel, with Uviyom HaShabbos. Thank you.
yom 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 Shabbat yom yom Shabbat yom 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 Shabbat yom 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 Shabbat yom 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 Shabbat
This is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that you enjoyed this special program featuring cantor Naftali Herstick. Just about now, I guess, let's see, it's Monday night. It's about 11. I've just finished giving a presentation at the Cantorial Council of America. Yesterday, it was a wonderful concert with Pinchas Cohn, Yankee Lemmer, Zevi Muller, and Moshe Shur. And, of course, the davening over the weekend, it was Shabbat Kazanut. So it was a wonderful immersion. Next week, I'll give you a whole report about the weekend. But in the meantime, thank you so much for joining with me. Don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. I'm excited now about doing this TACI, Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute special. Featuring graduates of that school. And, got a lot of specials coming up. But in any event, thanks again for joining with me, and shalom, everyone.